This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We hit the field light. All day light. All night light. Here we go. Here we go. Keep it on. We don't hit them light.
This is the Cleveland Sports Beat Podcast with James Rapine and Daryl Ryder on 92.3thefan.com.
What up and welcome into another edition of the Cleveland Sports Beat Podcast. I'm James Rapine along with Daryl Ryder. We are your beat writers for 92.3 The Fan and 92.3thefan.com. Great to be with you on a Tuesday. We have a ton to get to. We're going to start with the Browns. We got some tribe talk coming your way as well. A quick reminder, you can subscribe iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and every podcast posted on our website, 92.3thefan.com. Make sure you leave us a five-star review on iTunes so more Cleveland sports fans can find this podcast. We have a ton to get to, Daryl. A ton. And the first thing we need to start with, and we have to start with, is the news that happened last night. Russell Wilson signs a four-year, $140 million deal, an extension, with the Seattle Seahawks. And this morning, and it was last night into this morning, and there's some conversations now here in Cleveland about Baker Mayfield. Oh, do you pay him that much? It's hard to win with a quarterback making that much and that percentage of your salary cap, and I think it's 18 or 19%. I can't believe we're here. 2 years ago, it was, are they ever going to be able to find a quarterback? I was watching DeShone Kizer play quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. And now Baker Mayfield, 1 year in, we're worried about his contract extension. I don't want to worry about that right now. And I get why people bring it up. But why can't we just live in the present for now? It's year two. Let's worry about the contract extension 2, 3, 4 years from now.
Because people need something to complain about.
Oh, my God. You finally found your quarterback. Like, can we not worry about how much he's going to make in 5 years?
I'll worry about the extension in 3 years when I'm supposed to worry about the extension. Now, it's a pointless conversation to have because the bar is going to keep going up and up and up and up and up. You know, Carson Wentz, when he gets his extension, the bar, you know, that'll reset the bar. Patrick Mahomes will then reset the bar again when he gets his extent. But we're 3 years away from that. A lot can happen in 3 years. The Browns could have a Super Bowl championship before that even happens.
Yeah.
I said that with a straight face, by the way.
No, that could happen. Baker could underwhelm. There's a bunch of different things that could happen between now and then. We don't know.
We won't talk about the negative stuff that can happen, but yeah, I mean...
No, I'm not going to go more negative than that.
There's a lot of things that can happen between now and then. So just like right now, you know, like I got into it with Lima over the salary cap. They're going to have like $58 million in room next year. Who gives a crap? Yeah. When they have $10 million in room, then I'll start worrying about John Dorsey's usage of the salary cap. Right now, they need players that can play. And that's what John Dorsey's done, is he's brought in players that can play. And those players cost money. Welcome to the National Football League. The rolling over $30, $40, $50 million in salary cap room is the exception, not the rule in the NFL. Now, this past year, yeah, there were three or four teams that rolled over significant cap space, but, you know, the Browns had been leading that charge for the last couple of years where they were the team leading everyone by like $10 million extra in extra room that they were rolling over year to year. But, I mean, that's the point of having the cap space, to use it on good players. Now, if Dorsey was using the cap space on crappy players, then I'll hear your concerns about the cap, but he's using it on guys like Odell Beckham Jr. I can live with that. I can live with that. Jarvis Landry, I can live with that.
Olivier Vernon. It'll be Myles Garrett.
Yeah, Myles Garrett's going to get paid. Demarius Randle, hopefully they can get something done with him, although as the days go by, I'm becoming less and less confident about that one. But, yeah, I mean, it's not like he gave Greg Robinson a four-year, $50 million extension here.
And you know what's interesting? last year, pre-Baker, right? After the 0-16 season, there was the 0-16 parade. There was plenty of talk about Kirk Cousins and free agency.
Right.
And how going to get Kirk Cousins, and I think Baker Mayfield's already a better quarterback than Kirk Cousins, and he's played less than a full season in the NFL. But the idea of paying someone like Kirk Cousins to come here and stabilize that position was worth it. So, of course, Baker Mayfield's going to be worth whatever the market dictates for him down the line, assuming he's as good as we think he's going to be. But let him show that first. He hasn't earned an extension. He hasn't earned $40 million an hour. That's all. So to me, it makes no sense, none at all, to worry. I get talking about it, but to worry about retaining Baker Mayfield or to worry about the money he's going to make. And the other thing, Daryl, that I think is interesting about this is Tom Brady's always brought up. He's always brought up because he takes pay cuts. People bring up how much money his wife makes, which I think is, while I get what they're trying to do, I think it's irrelevant because I think part of what Brady's done is in part of his legacy is doing everything he can to win. So I look at Tom Brady and the pay cuts he's taken. And the reason he does that is because he trusts that the New England Patriots are going to put the necessary pieces, coaches, talent, make the necessary moves to be a contender year in and year out. I think over the next three seasons, if you continue to show Baker Mayfield that you're willing to spend, that you're willing to put pieces around him, that you're willing to sacrifice draft picks, sacrifice salary cap money, etc., to win, he's more willing, instead of taking a $35 million per year deal, $40 million per year deal, of taking 30, of taking 29, to be a little more, sign a team-friendly deal, maybe restructure his deal 2 years in to add some bonus money to give you extra cap room so you can go get that free agent. And that, to me, is what's key here. I'm interested, and so far John Dorsey's done a good job of this, what pieces do you put around Baker? Because that Russell Wilson situation in Seattle, to me, that's simple. He wants to get paid because the organization has failed Russell Wilson. The pieces that they've put around him early in his career, they haven't put recently. They're not there. I mean, it's been Russell Wilson, a shoddy offensive line, outside of Doug Baldwin, questionable wide receivers, and they can't even get the running back right in Seattle. So, of course, Russell Wilson wants his money. So I think the Browns can prove to Baker that they're well-run. If they can do that, he's more likely, like Brady, like some of these other quarterbacks we've seen, to take somewhat of a team-friendly discount. That doesn't mean he's going to play for $12 million a year 6 years from now. But $29 million versus $39 million, I think there's a realistic chance there, if you prove he can contend year in and year out here in Cleveland, that he might do it.
I'll worry about it in 3 years. Too early to worry about it.
That strategy, though, if you prove to him you're well-run, like New England has done with Tom Brady,
yeah,
I think there's a path
to that. Baker won't do that, though.
I think he will.
I don't think so. Now, I think maybe down the line, but at first, you know, when you're – I think Tom Brady's the exception. The fact that he's not among the highest paid at his position, I think he makes somewhere around like $15 million a year.
He does.
Which is just incredible. But like right now, with the way this roster is currently constructed, you know, they're not going to have 2 and 3 first-round draft picks coming up for contract. They already got rid of one of the three first-rounders in Jabril Peppers, so you don't have to worry about extending him. Now you're down to Miles and David Njoku in that class.
And Njoku's not going to get paid crazy.
Right. You know, well, we don't even know if they're going to extend him at this point.
Yeah.
You know, they still have to evaluate that situation. So, and then when you know, you're anticipating Denzel Ward, you will extend him, provided he stays healthy. So I think that they're just in a lot better shape than people are giving them credit to be. I think people are still stuck on John Dorsey turned Kansas City into salary cap hell, which I don't know necessarily that's 100% accurate, but, you know, everyone's worried about that, and you're looking at year 4, because he's not going to burn through the rest of the cap space next year either. So you're looking at year four and year five into his tenure before you have to really get nervous about salary cap or like really start to focus on the cap. And that's like perfectly acceptable.
That's forever away. I agree with that.
Yes. And the other thing too is we don't know. See, the collective bargaining agreement is up after next season.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we don't know, do they keep the cap rollover provision? What other tweaks and changes to the salary cap do they make? You know, what do they do with the transition tag and the franchise tag? And there's so many things that can happen before Baker's deal comes up. That's why it's too premature to have this conversation, because we don't even know what the terms are going to be for the league going forward beyond 2021. So, I mean, it's way too early. And again, I did the fuzzy math, and you're looking at, let's say they roll over $30 million next year. They have $20 million in dead cap right now, so 20 plus 30 equals $50 million. Let's say the salary cap goes up next year, $8 million. Now you're up to $58 million in salary cap room. We're worried. Why? They started this year with $78 million in salary cap room. Again, we're worried about this. Why? There's no reason to be worried right now. If they don't end up rolling any money this year over, or if Dorsey handed out a ton of really bad contracts to people, okay? If he did what the Browns used to do, and that was overpay for washed up players beyond their prime,
mm-hmm.
or overpay for free agents that quite frankly weren't worth it. Paul Kruger, see his contract, okay? Then I would be worried. But everything, you know, the major transactions that Dorsey has made have all come through trade, okay? Yes, I know they signed Sheldon Richardson. They gave him a nice chunk of money.
That was the biggest deal.
But really, you know what? Yeah, I mean, Dorsey has not just like, you know, he didn't pull, you know, the fun coupon thing where he's just standing on the yacht throwing $100 bills off the side of the yacht, okay? He hasn't done that here. And to get better, you have to spend money. The great news is the Browns have had and have draft picks. They had and have salary cap space. They have and had cash from ownership to spend. Like, there's no issue here. I don't know why people think that there's an issue with the Browns. There's no issue right now. None whatsoever. And again, it's just entirely too premature to be talking about Baker freaking Mayfield's contract extension that's at least 3 years away, and yet we have no idea what the terms of the collective bargaining agreement that are going to determine what that extension is going to look like or are yet. I mean, it just we're so far. So much can happen, needs to happen, will happen before we even cross that bridge.
He's Daryl Ryder. I'm James Rapine. This is the Cleveland Sports Beat Podcast. We have plenty to get to on today's show. A quick reminder, though. Next week is the NFL draft. Daryl, did you know that? Next week, it's draft time, baby, which means we're going to have a wall-to-wall draft preview podcast next week to get you all ready for an interesting draft. Will Dorsey trade up? Will he trade down? Will he stay put? In the top 50, would you say he's going to trade up?
He'll trade up.
That's what you're saying. He's going to trade up.
You honestly think he's knowing
he's not staying at 49?
Knowing what you've observed from John Dorsey for two off seasons, you really think he's going to sit on his ass for 48 draft picks and wait for something to come to him? You really think that's going to happen?
Depends.
No.
Depends.
Ain't happening.
It depends. We'll see.
Ain't happening. He is not going to sit around for 48 picks to go off the board before he does something.
I love the draft.
I know.
Just so you know, I freaking love the draft.
You've mentioned that.
Oh my God.
I think you've mentioned
draft.
That on
and,
every
and
single
and
podcast.
And honestly, that's the one thing I'm bummed about. I get it. Odell Beckham Jr. is better than anyone they could have drafted at 17. I love that they traded for him. But it sucks that the Browns don't have a pick in round one because it's at least as of now, because it makes it harder to talk about. People are less interested, but either way, we know you're interested. We'll have a complete preview next week right here on the Cleveland Sports Beat Podcast. Daryl, real quick, before we get to the tribe, a lot of people have been making the argument that you can't win with your quarterback on that new extension, you know, the Russell Wilson extension, the Aaron Rodgers extension, Matthew Stafford, etc. I disagree with that for a variety of reasons.
Saints have done just fine. They've been paying Drew Brees for over a decade.
There's one. Two, I think the Packers have been overrated with the way they've run their franchise, and paying Aaron Rodgers isn't the reason they haven't won. It's been a variety of things, including not putting weapons around him. Like, to me, you have to pay your quarterback. It would be like the Indians letting Francisco Lindor. It makes no sense to do it in his prime, right? That's why people are losing their minds, only to a greater extent because quarterback is the most important position in sports. Like, whatever the asking price is for Baker, market value-wise, the Browns are going to do. So you might as well accept it. But I get it. It's early.
Why do people care? It's not their money.
Can this team...
The only thing they should care about is they keep the guy.
And can NFL teams win consistently when their quarterback's making $30, $35 million a year?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, because here's the thing. Like, rookies... And this is, if you look at the numbers, and there have been studies, I know the Associated Press did a study on this within the last year about the youth movement in the NFL and it, with rosters and its effect on free agency, its effect on roster composition. And teams are skewing younger and younger and younger. And that the numbers speak for themselves. I don't have them in front of me, but I remember reading the article that the AP put together. And so you can, if you continue to draft well, you basically get, granted you have to pay the cash up front, the signing bonus or whatever, but you get, like, Baker's salary this year is like $1 million. Okay. So that's very manageable. Now his cap figure is different. His cap figure, I think, is around $7 or $8 million.
Yeah, I think it's $8.5 in that range.
But again, that's manageable.
Sure.
And the other thing, too, is okay, let's say you're paying a guy, let's take Russell Wilson's contract. And, I'm just going to do a quick math calculation. I know this makes for riveting stuff right now, but just trying to
He's making 18.6% of the cap. I don't know if that's the number.
Yeah.
$35 million per.
So four years, 140, and like 65 of that is guaranteed. Yep. So here's how you compute this, though. Okay? You take the $65 million that's guaranteed, or the signing bonus, mm-hmm. and you divide that over the length of the contract. That's the first part of the cap computation. Then that's why when you get rid of a player early, you get that cap hit,
mm-hmm.
because all what's remaining gets bunched. That becomes one big number. What the balance of the guaranteed money becomes one big cap charge. Then you take his cash salary. That's your second. You add those two together and you get your cap number. And then what you do is to get around this. To lower those numbers, the teams will, turn future salary into a signing bonus in a new deal, allows them to pay out the cash, but allows you to lower your cap figure. The Steelers do this with Ben Roethlisberger all the time.
Yep.
The Patriots have done this with Tom Brady.
Yep.
Where
Drew Brees has done it.
Right. Where this is how they restructure, because he still gets his cash. Okay. But you're lowering your cap figure because you lower the annual salary, which lowers the cap figure, and you lower the proration of the bonus money as well. So it's one of the good things that Sashi Brown did do as a GM, like Jamie Collins' contract, for instance. The reason they were able to get out of that 2 years into it was because all the guarantees had been paid out in the first 2 years, and therefore... It was a minimal salary cap hit for the Browns.
How's he doing on the free agent market, by the way?
I do believe he is still available.
He is.
It's
that was kind of mean.
Well, no, you've reached a point with the Browns. Now it's gone from, if you get cut from the Browns, it means you suck and you're no longer good enough to be in the league because you can't even play for the Cleveland Browns. And it is also now, well, if you're not good enough to play for the Browns, who are turning it around. You're still not good enough to be in the league. I think he'll land somewhere. He'll probably end up with a vet minimum type of deal. But So again, you know, I'm not concerned about the Browns cap situation. I think John Dorsey has done a good job using what's been at his disposal. He's brought in blue chip players that are in the sweet spots of their career from 25 to 30. Okay. He's not bringing in guys that are over 32 years old on the back nine of
That's
their
age
careers.
Age discrimination.
It's not age discrimination. That's just the reality, and this is what the
I want 35-year-old vets on their last leg.
Yeah, I mean this. Well, get you. Then you should have watched the Browns for the previous 15 years before Sashi Brown got here, because that's all they did. I remember when they signed Willie McGinnis and made him one of the highest-paid linebackers, and he was on the back nine of his career. He came here and collected his paycheck. I love Willie McGinnis. He's a Hall of Famer. But the fact of the matter is, when he was here, his main job was to teach the locker room what it was to be a professional and how they do things in New England.
I'll do that for $800,000 a year, Browns.
And
can I get a contract?
And judging by the results under Eric Mangini, where they won a whopping 10 bleeping games in 2 years, it did not go well. So, again, Dorsey's done a really good job of spending his prime dollars on guys that are in the prime of their careers, and that's what the good GMs do.
Yeah, I'm with you. I totally think you can build around.
You're doing
a quarterback
what Lima
that's
does.
Making 30 to 35.
You're just trying to stir the drink.
I'm not stirring any. I'm bringing up what people are asking. I'm bringing up what Lima does. I don't even want to say what Lima does. But
no, I don't even think we're even on this podcast allowed to say what Lima
not
does.
Allowed to do that. But up next, we're going to dive into the tribe. And remember, draft next week. We have a draft preview podcast coming your way. Daryl's super excited to talk NFL draft with you. He's got plenty on the Browns. We got plenty on the tribe. Coming up next, right here on the Cleveland Sports Beat podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
I'm James Erpine. He is Daryl Ryder. It's great to be with you right here on the Cleveland Sports Beat podcast on a Tuesday. Let's talk tribe, Daryl. I stayed up late last night to watch Edwin Encarnacion hit a bomb and almost force extra innings against the Cleveland Indians. The Indians hold on to win 6-4 over Seattle, improved to 9-7 on the season. How concerned are you with the tribe? They got some injuries now. Mike Clevinger, injured. Jason Kipnis, back. But that Clevinger injury, serious. I mean, if we don't see him till August, minimum, I really won't be shocked. I think that's late July, early August is probably what we're looking at. That's Dr. James chiming in. Francisco Lindor expected to start his rehab assignment with the Columbus Clippers later this week or at some point this week. It could be as early as tonight. I know he joined the team yesterday in Louisville. Your thoughts on their 9-7 start, obviously getting swept in Kansas City, their starting pitching issues very clear in that series. What are you thinking right now about the tribe? You worried? Concerned?
I'm concerned about their depth. Obviously, the Clevinger injury is a pretty significant blow, but it's too early for the Indians' hot takes that I see on social media right now. If if it's June and they're hovering around 500, be a little nervous and a little concerned. Or if, you know, they're this beat up in June. But, I mean, we said going into the season that they were a thin ball club. We knew this going in. You know, it's good that Kipnis is back. He had an impact right out of the gate, which was great to see. Hopefully he can be closer to the player we saw 3 or 4 years ago than the one we've seen for the last 3 or 4 years. And back to Clevinger real quick. I mean, this is why you don't trade good quality starting pitching. This is why I was against trading Corey Kluber in the offseason as well. You know, Corey tends to start a little slow, so I'm not going to freak out about him, even though he's not pitching all that great right now. But yeah, it's just, it's too premature to go with the hot takes. You know, the Indians are in trouble, and you know, they might not win the division, and that. There's a lot of baseball that still has, first of all, they've not played a lot of baseball, and there's a lot of baseball they have to play. I'd like to get to the end of May into the early portion of June, because I think that that's when you start to really see the pattern establish. You know, you're playing in consistently warmer weather. You know, it's Mother Nature's a less and less factor as the season goes along here. Right now, they're just playing in cold, crappy weather. And
the theme for you today is patience.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Baker way down the line. Indians, it's way early. No, I gotcha.
It is. You know, people, and listen, I used to be hot take in April guy years ago. And I've just, over the years, I remember a year the Indians, I think, started like 11-1 or 11-2. And we're all like, oh my gosh, they're going to go to the World Series. And they like ended up winning 78 games that year. Well, the Mets last year, if I remember correctly, I think they like started something like 11-2 or something.
Did.
And they ended up winning in the 70s. So it's just, you want to basically spend the first half of your season getting everyone settled into roles. And especially the bullpen. I think that that's something Terry Francona is going to have to figure out here in the early stages of the season, is what guys work well. But again, I don't say that as a negative or as a criticism. That's just what good managers do, figure out what guys fit best in what situations. And luckily they play in the worst division in baseball, so they do have a margin of error that if they were in the AL East or the AL West, they would not have. So I think that they're right now. Yeah, there's obviously some red flags. I will not argue that. There are definitely some significant red flags. I'm just not ready to freak out about those red flags, because I want to see how the next 3 to 4 weeks go here from a health standpoint, who they get back. Hopefully they don't lose anybody else. And then also, you know, we kind of get a little better picture of what this bullpen actually looks like.
Yeah, it's fair to say let's wait and see. And they're still in a good spot. They're 9-7. Given the injuries, given the way Carrasco's looked in his 3 starts, given the way Corey Kluber's looked, it makes sense. Right? It makes sense to, one, evaluate things like, all right, they've had injuries. The fact that they're 9-7, almost to feel good about it. It makes sense to feel good instead of, here's the problem. I don't know what Francisco Lindor is going to be when he gets back. That's a big concern. Like, they're saying a week to 10 days from now. So let's just say he comes back May 1st.
You know, it just hit me.
Huh?
Indians are hosting the All-Star game this year, and Francisco Lindor might not even be in it.
Yep. That's a very real possibility. So now,
and again, I'm not saying that to be negative. That is a very real possibility, because when you miss a significant portion of the and listen, it's hard to get Indians players into the All-Star game as it is, to get enough votes to get them there,
mm-hmm.
you know, from the fans. But it, you know, if he's dinged up early on like he is, I mean, like, that's kind of like the whole point of like hosting the All-Star game. You get your
stars,
your stars in that game. And I got news for you. I don't know if Frank could gotta be there.
Right now, the only position player would be Carlos Santana, which we don't expect that to continue. But his numbers are insane. I'm just saying, he's off to an insane start.
Since you brought up being concerned early, I have a question for you.
Okay.
When should I get concerned about Jose Ramirez?
That's good. I'm glad you, because that's what I was going to bring up. Because if if Frankie isn't Frankie the moment he comes back, and I don't think it's realistic to expect him to be Frankie. Yeah, he missed all of spring training, right? He's dealt with two separate leg injuries now. He's not going to be that guy. Maybe I'm dead wrong and he comes out and he hits 500, but that's not my expectation for him. I don't expect him to come out guns blazing, which means you need someone else to step up at the plate. Right now, it's been Carlos Santana and no one else.
Yeah.
Literally no one else. Leonis Martin at times has shown something. Tyler Naquin at times has shown something. Jake Bowers has. Cargo has a little bit in his first two starts. You mentioned Kipnis yesterday, but no one consistently. Jose Ramirez needs to be that guy. Entering last night, their last two series were against the Tigers and the Royals. They went
hardly the world beaters of Major League Baseball.
They went 2-4.
They're not exactly trotting out Cy Young every night either.
Jose Ramirez went 2-for-26 with zero walks. Jose Ramirez entered last night without a home run. Finally hit one yesterday, by the way. And I think having Carlos Gonzalez third, having Francisco Lindor eventually hitting first instead of Leonis Martin with Jose in between, I think he's going to get way more comfortable then. Yesterday, he hit his first home run. He walked twice. He entered last night with two walks. He doubled his walk total in one night. He's a big reason they won because he stole a base and he advanced. And then
by the way, I just
want to
point out, that's not positive. Go ahead.
It's ridiculously awful. And so I think he's pressing a lot. I think the skill's still there. People within the organization that I've talked to aren't worried, right? They're not worried about him.
That's why I asked, when is it fair to start worrying
start of
about
May.
Him?
Like if May starts and you don't see anything different, then I'm seriously, because now it's more than half a season or getting close to half a season with last year's struggles.
It was
mid-August last year where it just dropped. So mid-August, September, obviously the three playoff games, then this year, most of April. Now, it might turn tonight. Like yesterday might have been the turning point. He hit the home run. He had a mammoth shot to left field that was just foul late in the game. He ended up walking. It would have been a double easy. So he's making solid contact. You're starting to see it. He made solid contact over the weekend, too. I think he's starting to come around. But if we're a month from now talking about Jose Ramirez hitting under 200 and his on-base percentage at, which right now it's at a whopping 212.
Again, not positive.
But if it's in that range, right. I can't do it. I can't. That's it. Now I'm pressing panic because you're talking about a half a season. Here's the other thing. And people
for a player that has MVP caliber talent.
And people forget about this. He did enter this season injured. Hurt. I won't say injured because he played. But hurt. It was the Sunday before the regular season started. He fouled a ball off of his knee. Now, I get it. He played.
Right.
I get it. The Indians said he was fine.
Didn't go on the IL. Is that what they're calling
IL.
It now?
But here's the thing.
Baseball trying to be cool. We'll give you war. We'll give you launch angles. We'll give you exit velocity. And we give you the IL instead of the DL.
And even though I like DL way better. Maybe I'm old school.
I do too.
Even though he didn't go on the IL, even though he continued to play, you can't tell me that wasn't sore.
A factor, right.
For multiple weeks.
Well, I said,
it's a freaking bone bruise.
It's April. It's too early for the hot takes. And that's why I asked. Because, you know.
So mid-May. By mid-May, he better have turned things around.
I really paid attention to him during that Detroit series. And he just looked completely lost. And you're right. You saw over the weekend, you can just tell by the swings when a guy's coming around.
Mm-hmm.
And I do agree with you. His swings over the weekend were much, much better. So maybe that knee and ankle and leg are feeling a little bit better. And, hopefully he comes around because they need him. I mean, the lineup is weak as it is. So they need everybody to give premium effort. That's the wrong phrasing because obviously they are trying. You need to get premium production. That's what I was looking for. You need to get premium production from your premier players because the margin for error with the lineup, with the bullpen, it's not there. It's a very thin team. We've already discussed that at length. So you can't afford to have Jose Ramirez in the tank for an extended period of time. Or when Frankie Lindor comes back, you can't afford him, fair or not, you can't afford to have him get off to a slow start or ease his way back into things for an extended period of time. You basically, as you said, you need him to step in and just be Frankie right away. And that's probably very, very unrealistic. But that's kind of where you're at is, yeah. is an organization when you're as thin as you are, you know, with your 25-man roster.
The good news is who he's replacing is set such a low bar. Like, even if he hits... Think about this. The Indians cut Brad Miller. They DFA'd Brad Miller to clear the way for Jason Kipnis because you don't need two left-handed second basemen. You know, here's the
thing. What's he bitching about? He knew the situation coming in.
We could get to it in a second, but here's the thing. When he was released, let go, he was one of four Indians hitting above 250. The bar is low at that moment. I haven't checked the stats this morning, updated after yesterday's game. Stats, especially early in the year, jump quickly. I'll give you 1 minute here on the Brad Miller thing. It was inevitable. Brad, you were never going to be on this team until Frankie went down with another injury.
Right.
They brought you on the team because Ryan Flaherty, who they were grooming, basically, to make the roster had there been any other injuries, opted out on his opt-out date because they didn't guarantee him. Yeah. So in spring training, they didn't guarantee his deal. The next day, Frankie gets injured in a minor league game. Flaherty had already opted out. If he had just held on, like Hanley Ramirez did, by the way,
right.
he would have made the roster. Instead, they signed Brad Miller, and here's the thing with Miller. Miller's deal would have become fully guaranteed if he had played 45 days with the Indians. Why would you not want to fully guarantee his deal, even though it's 1 year, $1 million? Because he's a backup who right. you don't think is that good. You already have a left-handed second baseman.
Right.
And you have Ryan Flaherty, who's back now in the minors, who you felt great about anyways. There was no reason to guarantee his deal. So they don't want the best players up here. You were going to ride Pine anyway, Brad.
I know.
I get him being frustrated, and I hope he gets picked up. But you don't need to try to trash the organization on the way out, because if I'm a Seattle, or if right. I'm Cincinnati, or if I'm the Florida Marlins, or the Miami Marlins.
I'm laughing at that quote.
And I look at Brad Miller, and he's ripping an organization on the way out. You're Brad Miller. You're not even the most popular, most famous Brad Miller. He was a center in the NBA. So you can't be a diva when you're the second most famous Brad Miller in professional sports.
Yeah, I shook my head when I read that quote from him last. I'm like, wait a minute. First of all, you knew the deal going in. It's not like you were deceived. It's, you know, he acted like the Indians pulled a fast one on him, and they didn't. Like, he knew what it was going in.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry, when you have millions of dollars invested in Jason Kipnis, and I realize, again, Kipnis hasn't been what we thought he was going to be. Part of that's because he's been injured the last couple of years, but still... Like, of course they're committed to Jason Kipnis. They're not just going to sit Kipnis so that they can keep playing you because you're batting 250 over a 2 week stretch. If you're patting yourself on the back because you hit 250 to start the season, man, your bar is low.
Yeah.
Like if you're doing what Carlos Santana's doing, where he's hitting like 475 to start the season, I'll at least listen to the argument. But you're hitting a quarter at the start of the season. Really?
Let me give you this lineup here. This is my projected lineup, how I think the Indians lineup will be once Frankie comes back. And all you right. tell me what you think of it.
All right.
Francisco Lindor playing short, hitting first.
Thank God.
Jose Ramirez at third, hitting second.
Okay.
Carlos Gonzalez in right field, hitting third. Carlos Santana playing first, hitting fourth. Jake Bowers playing in left, hitting fifth. Hanley Ramirez DHing, hitting sixth. Jason Kipnis playing second base, hitting seventh. Roberto Perez at catcher, hitting eighth. Leonis Martin, who's now your leadoff hitter, you put him right. in the nine spot, which I love, and also playing center. Your thoughts on that projected Indians lineup? You'd also have, you know, Greg Allen, your Tyler Naquin on the bench.
I would prefer Jose hit third in the lineup.
What? Who's hitting second? What? Why?
For some reason, I like
no way
Jose hitting third.
Oh, for what? But why?
But that lineup that you read is 1,000 times better.
Doesn't it seem like a real lineup?
Than like, yeah, like it's 1,000 times better.
And we're not far from this. Once Frankie comes back, it's here.
Than what they have been trotting out on the field for the first couple weeks of the season here. Yeah, like that actually passes for a major league lineup.
Yeah, it does to me.
you need
Carlos Gonzalez to be 80% of cargo.
You need
Hanley Ramirez to show, and he had an RBI single yesterday in the first inning. You need him.
Cargo's an unknown quantity to me at this point. I know what he did before he got here, but I think he's a little bit of an unknown quantity. I know what I hope for with him. And what I'm projecting to get from him, but I still think a little bit he's kind of a little bit of an unknown quantity as far as how he's gonna fit
in
and what you're gonna be able to get from
him. If I had
to
project his numbers, I would say between 60 and 65 RBI. I would say between 15 and 20 home runs.
By the way, I love Martin hitting ninth because the ninth hitter is almost like your second leadoff.
And that's how I view it. That's exactly why I. In an ideal, I don't think he's their ninth best hitter, but you put him down there. So if he has to start an inning, ninth, then it's him, Lindor, Ramirez, with Cargo, you know, in the hole. Like I like it. So that's why I would do it that way. Who knows? Who knows if I'm right? Tito's forgot more about baseball than I do.
Next time you see Tito, maybe suggest that to him.
Pass
and
it
then,
to him. Hey, man. What do you think about this lineup?
Just make sure you have video rolling when he tells you to go F yourself.
Can I get part of that new contract you got? I'll take an extra $100 a week. What do you think, Tito? No? By the way, real quick before we get out of here, Larry Drew. I was right! I told you.
You're really going to take a victory lap over
I'm
that?
I'm not taking a victory lap. I just told you. He didn't. By the way, people... The Cavaliers were not keeping Larry Drew.
Ever.
But I'm just saying, people are like, Larry decided. No, if he thought he had a real shot at the job, he would have stayed around and got it.
Larry didn't want to be the interim coach to begin with.
He knew he wasn't getting the job.
He just wanted to be paid.
He didn't want to go through a cut. By the way.
Good for him.
I don't blame him. And I like Larry Drew.
Good
and
for
honestly,
him.
You know where I wouldn't be
he's
shocked.
Gonna go,
if he,
he's going to go to the Lakers and be Ty Lue's assistant.
I wouldn't be shocked one damn bit. And
then Kyrie's going to go to the Lakers, and it's going to be the Cavaliers West.
I heard 3 months ago about the Ty Lue thing. I think it's real.
Oh, yeah. LeBron wants him because LeBron knows he can walk over him at times, but also at times Ty Lue's going to push back and push the team. Like there's a little bit of a mutual respect there. Like the one thing I noticed with LeBron was he was never in the huddle, or he was always running the huddle when David Blatt was the coach here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there were huddles where he was like he just stayed on the floor, like he didn't even bother coming over to the bench, or like he came within like 10 feet of the bench. And just kind of like stood there with his arms folded and like watched whatever was going on the Humongotron and stuff like that. Like it was the ultimate F you, I have zero respect for you. Please tell me about your European League championships again for the 100th time with Blatt. And then like with Ty
David
Lue,
Blatt would be good with this current Cavs team.
No, I couldn't stand David Blatt.
I'm just letting you know.
Again,
young team.
But with Lue, LeBron would actually look like he wanted to participate in the huddle.
Well, because Lue will call him out.
Right.
And Lue will be like, hey, LeBron, you're being a bleepity bleep.
Right. So I think that there's a little bit of a, I think there's a, that LeBron has a semblance of respect for Ty. And I still think that the Lakers are a mess.
Well, they are a mess.
The way the Magic thing went down, there's got to be
it's
more.
A clown
to that.
Show.
I mean, there's got to be more to that story than him just. I
want to tweet again.
Yeah.
How much has he tweeted, by the way?
Really?
I don't even know. I don't follow him.
Well,
No, you don't need your check.
No. He quit a job so he could send beautiful tweets such as, give me a second here's here the to thing, pull up though. His account.
I think the Lakers are going to get a big fish. I think they're going to get Kemba. I don't think it's going to be Kyrie. Yeah. I think it'll be Kemba Walker, LeBron James, and they're going to try to trade for another star.
It certainly is not going to be Kevin Durant. No.
No, I agree with that one. Durant wants to beat out LeBron.
Okay.
Which means he should stay with Golden State, even though they blew a 31-point lead yesterday.
So the great Irvin Magic Johnson quit his job so he could send.
Oh, good God. Really? Is it this?
This. I've had a great Saturday watching the NBA playoff games! The Nets shocked the Sixers, and the Magic did the same to the Raptors. Golden State played like champs today.
Oh, good God. What the hell are you doing, Magic? You know what?
A big congratulations to Tiger Woods for winning the Masters! ! The roar of the Tiger is back!
I'm going to go ahead and throw my hat in the ring. Because the Lakers, I get it. I'm not part of the Laker family. But I've always thought I'd be a good GM. Little known fact about me, Daryl.
Sorry, I'm distracted by Magic's Twitter feed right now. I'm trying to find more beauties for you.
I believe I could be a good GM. I truly, deep down, believe that. So
that might
Lakers,
be your first mistake, by
Lakers,
the way.
Lakers, if you need someone, I got you. And we will get the stars. My email's out there. My Twitter, you could tweet, you could slide in my DMs, Lakers. Genie Bus, just slide in the DMs. I'll interview for the job. We will make the Lakers great again.
Oh.
What? You didn't like that statement?
No comment.
He's Daryl Ryder. I'm James Rapine.
This is not a political podcast.
It wasn't political at all. I'm just, you know.
Kind
of selling
you
myself.
You used some political phraseology that I completely.
Making things great. That was yes. Out well before any campaign that you're talking about. Okay. A campaign to get James to L.A. Get me to L.A., baby. Can I run it from Cleveland?
You keep talking like that, I'll be all in favor of you going to
L.A. Yeah, see, look, you're going to kick me out. Could you imagine? Genie, come on. Slide into the DMs. You subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcast. Make sure you check out Daryl's work at 923thefan.com. We got plenty there on the Browns. The schedule comes out tomorrow night, so make sure you're there. Daryl will have a complete breakdown.
That would be
breakdown.
Wednesday evening, just in case you
That's true,
to
Wednesday
yet.
Evening. So if you're listening to this on Wednesday, go to 923thefan.com and keep hitting refresh. And if it's post-Wednesday at 8 o'clock, it'll already be up there because Daryl's the man. We'll also have plenty on the Indians, plenty on the Cavs coaching search, if anything develops on that front.
Should I play the schedule game on the website? Should I do, like, game-by-game, win-loss?
I think we
win,
should play
loss?
The schedule game on next week's podcast along with our draft. What do you think? Okay. It'll be a complete Browns edition.
Yeah, we'll see.
Plenty of time for the schedule
game. I already got him down for 11-5.
Look at you. I think it depends on what happens in the draft. We'll talk about it next week.
I think
week.
It all depends on how the schedule comes out. How many long weeks do they get? How many short weeks do they get? How many primetime games do they get? 5.
I don't like Daryl anymore. We'll be back next week to talk draft right here on
it
the
took
Cleveland
you this long?
Sports Beat Podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.